This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WSBL podcast. As ever, thank you for tuning in and listening. It's not an easy time to be listening to everything going on QPR, never mind talking about it. Apologies, we've had a fair few emails and DMs around when our next podcast out. We haven't done one for a couple of weeks. We've had a bit of sickness in the camp and some festive holidays and the fact that we aren't very good. the desire to actually do it half ill has probably not been there. So apologies, but we're back now to talk about how rubbish we are and what's been going on over the last sort of couple of weeks and where we see the rest of the season going. We're into January, we're on really bad form again. We've got players that still aren't good enough and performing. We've got a manager trying to hold it all together and trying not to fall in that black hole that a couple of other managers have fallen in. We've got a DFO, I don't know where he is. Anyway, lots to get through, so we'll try and go through it all. But just quickly, introducing, we've got on the pod today, we've got obviously Duncan McCready. How are you, mate?
It's not the best start to the new year, but that's QPR for you, isn't it? But I'm fine.
Did you expect anything different, though? I know, it's just silly. We'll go through it. But
no.
Was there any kind of expectation that we would do anything other than what we did on...
Especially when I saw the team sheet, I was like, no, we've lost this straight away.
Oh, God. All right, we'll chat for it in a sec. Ollie, up the arse. Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you?
All right. And we welcome back Clive from Lawful Words. Always great reports and always good to talk to you around everything QPR. How you doing, Clive? You okay?
I'm good, mate. And when you asked me to come on, it was a couple of weeks ago and we'd won three games. And I was like, that'll be really nice to go on someone's podcast when it's going well. And I can see a few positives and see the direction of travel. And like you said, Christmas, holidays, sickness. And now once again, I'm like your guest and everybody's guest when it's all gone to shit. And yeah, so it's not
going to be fun.
That
was intentional, mate. Like you said, we wanted to get you on before Christmas when we were going well, actually. That was actually that was what we were aiming for.
But I was really looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, a couple of weeks later and now we're back to where we were, it feels like. But you good though, mate?
Yeah, I'm sick of watching QPR, but I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I really want to start with just a massive rant. I don't know why. I don't want to come across over too negative, but I think fed up. I'm past fed up. I don't know what the word is for past fed up and being really, really pissed off. I don't know what it is. I was trying to think of it all day and I just can't find the right word. But I am really at that point with this football club. It's really frustrating. I was thinking about when we do our podcast over the Christmas period. I always think that we're just like a Christmas episode of EastEnders. And what I mean by that is someone always dies, right? Every year, someone dies on it, right? But then the next year, no one thinks, hang on a second, someone's probably going to die. Maybe I should stay in my family, not let anyone in, see the day through or whatever. And then they're always really surprised, right? That's all made up for TV. QPR is like a small reality of that. It's like the same thing. I'm watching us play, and the same thing happens. I just, you know, it's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? We're going to concede a set piece. We're going to get sent off it here and there. We'll get an injury or two. We'll end up losing. I don't know. That's what it feels like to me. And I'm getting really frustrated with a lot of players. I don't know why. They're just really, really frustrating me more than ever. Like the lack of quality, the lack of being able to pass a ball 5 yards, trap a ball. Decision making, it just, and whenever the going gets a slightly tough, they just go hiding. I'm just so annoyed about the, and we'll go through it, the Cardiff game, but the goals we conceded with set pieces. You look at the team sheet, Cardiff has scored the most goals at set pieces. Numero uno, don't concede a set piece and be as dangerous as you can, as dangerous as we are on them, on when you're attacking one. And we just didn't, we had Larkesh marking this. But for the two corners before that corner, we had Larkesh marking that 6'3" centre half who scored. So I don't understand whether that's someone that he's been told to do that, whether someone isn't going, where's these experienced players going, hang on a second, that isn't right, let's change that. Or him going, I probably shouldn't be doing this, can someone else? So that's annoyed me. That annoyed me so much. And then the next corner, Dizel was marking him. Anyway, so that's something else I noticed. And also the Begovic goal. I don't know what, I've looked at it from every angle and I don't understand what he's doing. He's just like, he's just throwing himself in the air like he could fly, not even knowing that the ball was where it was. Just ridiculous. I'm pretty fed up, as you can probably tell. And these players, just they're just not good enough. I don't know, Gareth Ainsworth rightly got the chop and Critchley, and they've thrown Warbs, and I'm really worried about Marty at the moment. How, you know, I'm hoping, you know, fans will want to stick with him, but I just don't want it to turn as sour as it did for those. Anyway, right, I'll shut up now. Live, I'll come to you first, mate. I don't know what you can add to that, or what you want to add to that, or what, if you could give us a bit of a reflection on sort of this festive period in Cardiff particularly.
Do you want to do my match preview tomorrow? That was amazing.
No, sorry. I went off on a bit of a rant then. Sorry, I didn't realise it was going to come out like that. I kind of freestyled that.
Well, like you say, they're not very good players for a start. And, you know, I get angry that people sitting near me must be just completely sick of me because I lose the plot 3 or 4 times a week. There's not a lot of point in shouting at Jimmy Dunn, is that he's just not a very good footballer. He's not going to get any better for you yelling at him. They're not all like that. There's some others. Dizel, for instance, I think has got all the ability in the world and none of the heart, which I think is less forgivable than Jimmy Dunn just being crap. But you saw it coming at Ipswich, because we're not a very good team. And when you take particularly Steve Cook out, and Chair and Willock, and as soon as you saw them going through this hand-waving episode that our players do when the going gets tough at Ipswich, like, we got in the car and said, well, number one, we should have won that game, and didn't, because we don't miss chances, and should have had a penalty at the end. Number two, we could have lost that game, despite Ipswich playing their reserve team and whatever. We're still 3 Begovic saves and 2 Ladapo sitters away from even losing to Ipswich. And they're not going to win at Cardiff on Monday because, you know, that's what we do. We sort of lay the platform with a good draw away from home. Now you've got a winnable home game. You've got this great January coming up. Cardiff are in poor form and playing poorly, and I thought were a poor team on the day. But I was sitting in the car coming back from Ipswich. So does anybody actually think we're going to win that game on Monday? And nobody did. And like I say, it's a poor team and it was missing what few good players it does have. But, you know, it's an attitude. It's an attitude level from our players. They're a lethal combination of not very good, but also not very bright, not very committed, not together. The corners that you brought up is a setup issue. They like to have Dunn and Clark Salter as, in theory, your better headers of the ball, free to attack the ball as it comes in, and then they man mark with the others. But like you say, there's no way that the best two headers of the ball and the big centre-backs from Cardiff should be marked by your smallest and most inexperienced members of the team, Larkesh, and the second goal, it's Colley that's marking him. And you look, I know Begovic has caused the second goal, but just look at Clark Salter for that second goal. If that's what he's meant to be doing, marking the space at the back post and attacking the ball as it comes to the back post. Well, go and attack it then. Like, he just stood there and let it happen. Colley's not going to be able to stop that guy. That's, you know, it's on Begovic, but it's on Clark Salter as well. And then lo and behold, 5 minutes later, Clark Salter's hands in the air. He's going off. You know, we don't know when we're going to see him. He frustrates me because he's one of the few good players we've got. But is his heart in it? You know, does he actually... See, I don't even know where to start. I'm similar to you, Ben. I'm absolutely at my wit's end. I went on our message board this afternoon, basically just ranted for 2 hours, and I sort of came away from work and was like, do you feel better for doing that? Like, I've started on a couple of posters. I've contradicted myself 3 or 4 times. I'm just like, I'm shouting at the moon. I'm annoying myself, and I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of them and it. Poor players, poor team. I feel sorry for Cifuentes as well. I think he's much like the managers we had before. I think he's realizing exactly what he's got himself into now. And I don't think it was either told to him when he came just how bad it is here, or if it wasn't, he's certainly realizing now. He's sort of making similar noises to Beal for about 6 weeks, when Beal was basically pretty openly in fan meetings saying it's a lot worse here than I thought, and you guys don't know the half of it. Cifuentes' post-match interview on Saturday looked and sounded like that to me. So yeah, I'm as fed up as you, Ben.
Yeah, it's so frustrating as well, because I get your point around these players that are not showing heart, or maybe not looking like they are. But it's difficult too for anybody, because like you said, we don't know the half of what's going on there. And if it is only the half, then bloody hell, what else is going on in there that we don't know in this football club? And how even the best would lack heart, I think, in trying to get this team going, trying to get these players going. Dunk, I don't know if there's anything to add on anything we spoke about, Cardiff, the squad.
I'll try and be a little bit of a positive, and I thought that Colley did well when he came on. Good assist for the goal. Like,
was he injured when he went off?
Yeah.
He was.
I thought he was bright and he was energetic and he tried, which is a positive. But what, he's 18, 19? We can't rely on these youngsters all the time to be the ones that are putting in heart and effort. That's what an experience pro should be doing. Every single player should go on that pitch and give 100%. How many times have we been here over the last few years and said our players aren't doing that, regardless of who the manager is? It's the same set of players, majority of them, and they always phone it in. It's just really difficult to actually like our squad as well. Like, there's nobody in there that you go, I really like them as a player. They'll always put a shift in, no matter what.
I thought this yesterday, what? Mate. Exactly the same thing. I thought, who do I like? Who's my favourite player? Right? Yeah. And I literally cannot... I'm really struggling. Ilias Chair, I've seen a different Ilias Chair this year. His arms are up. Like, he just looks much more frustrated than ever before. Very quickly, And I think some teams know that, and they'll frustrate him, and they know, and he gets petulant much more now than I've noticed as well. Like, little niggles here. And I think that puts him off his game. Anyway, I digress. Sorry, Doug.
That's what I mean. Like, you go back over the years, and there's players you just liked going to watch, regardless of how badly we were playing. You had those little bit of flair players who'd get you off your seat, even if it was a score of like an absolute worldie in a 4-1 loss. Like, you didn't care because you'd seen your favourite player do something really good. No one does that. Like, there's not one player that I get excited about thinking when they get the ball, they're going to do something amazing. Chrissy Willock hasn't got it anymore. He's the shadow of a player he used to be. Ilias just holds on to the ball for about 5 minutes and then hits a nameless ball in the box 9 times out of 10. Smith, you want to like Smith. He's fast. He wants to play that kind of exciting, getting at players. He's got no end product. Like, it's just so frustrating. We haven't got a goal scorer that you can get behind. Like, I grew up, when I was a kid, my favourite player was Les Ferdinand. Like, he was our main striker. I grew up watching him banging goals. Like, yeah, so how you get into football. You like, most young kids, their favourite player is the goal scorer. It's just how football works, because they're the ones who are winning games. Who's that? Dykes. 3 goals all season. Like, it's just so hard being a QPR fan this season, especially. And it's like old, what was it, Einstein's theory of where repeating yourself and expecting a different result every single time. It doesn't happen.
No. Ollie, you like me?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with
Pretty
anyone said.
sad
I
there,
think,
mate. That was all.
I think one of our biggest problems is we don't have any all-rounders. For every strength that these players have, they have a weakness. You know, with Willock, he's got the technical ability, but hasn't got the legs or the attitude. You've got Sinclair, who for me is one of the only players in the squad that really does bolt up and that he tries, but he hasn't got the. He's raw. You've got Jake Clark-Sartle, who is extremely good when he need when he you know when he's fit, and then he's injured. And I just think you look back at the teams that we had in the past, like you had Eze, who could do everything. You know, we with Chair, for example, the one thing that frustrates me is I think it's almost like he wants the self-glory more than he wants the team to win games. You know, that might seem a bit of a strong opinion, but the amount of times I've seen him down the wing, there's plenty of options, and he just does the left goes right, and then it ends up being a shot that goes wide. I think we lack an all-rounder, and I think there's for every positive that there is in a player in this team, there's a negative that tends to outweigh it. And you know, most teams that sell a player for £19 million will improve, and they'll bring in decent players that are gonna start to fight. But you look at the way we sold Eze and bought no one in. You could argue Willock, but has anyone else been successful since Eze? Not really. We never have replaced Charlie Austin until we signed him on loan again. I think the squad at the moment, on paper, people like how are QPR down there. They've got lots of Chair, Willock, but they're not the players that they were anymore. And I think that's the problem we have, that we have. And I think Dykes needs to go. I think you can tell me how good his link-up play is and how good he is at trying. He don't score goals. He's not a goal scorer. He doesn't provide what you want from a striker. You know, I've seen a lot of people moaning about how Sinclair can't finish his season. He doesn't do enough. He's got the same goals and assists as Dykes, and he's off the bench 99% of the time. It's about time we stopped giving passes to players that try. And I think we're in a hole. And I think the teams above us look better than us, considerably better. Plymouth, Millwall, Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday—they're all much better. And I will say, I don't for a second blame Marty. I think he's got 13 points since he came in. Had we have not bought him in, I think we could be potentially bottom. I think on the outside, it's an attractive offer for a manager, a London club like QPR. And when they get in there, they realise, oh shit, okay, we're in trouble here. So I don't see anything happening unless we make January signings, which I don't see happening either.
I think one of the biggest issues that we've had is the fact that we just our attacking options are so poor. If you look at Marty and his defensive record, it's actually pretty decent. We're actually pretty solid. We'll concede goals here and there. I know New Year's Day was a bit not great from a defensive perspective, but overall Cardiff didn't do a lot else. So I think is it 11 or 12 goals you've seen in 11 or 12 games, something like that? I mean,
Yeah,
pretty decent.
actually, sorry, I saw a stat today that when GA we had Gareth Ainsworth in charge, we were the second team with the expected goals against, but we're now in the top four for
Yeah, I
least
mean,
for you know we're up there with
so
Southampton and
that's
Swansea.
fine. That's okay for a
Yeah.
club like QPR to be that. That's above probably where we should be, where we are in the league. But we just don't score any goals for some reason. And whoever made this decision, I don't know whether it was Gareth Ainsworth, probably not. Pirate decided not to bring in a striker and bring in Colback or someone else on a big. You know, Colback's taken up two wage two Cook and Colback have taken up what three or four players. Probably with their wages. Now, I appreciate we needed experience, but if that experience is never on the bloody football pitch, then what's the use of they? We're now on another. They're going to be here next season because I suspect no one's going to take them on the wages they're on. I don't know. Maybe Cook. I don't know. But we'll see how he gets on towards the end. But no one's taking Colback, right? So I don't know who is making these. And these are the decisions that are costing us for me. These are. And again, I don't know exactly. Maybe Clive can. I don't know who's making these. Who made the decisions are not great. You're not telling me, Gareth. I know Gareth Ainsworth in the summer when I'm happy with Colley, Sinclair, and Dykes as my strikers. I can. If he believed that, then I'll eat that. That's fair. Eat that.
That's the problem, though, when you appoint a yes man.
Well,
Like,
I
it
don't
was
know.
his dream job. It was his dream job. He was never going to go against the board and be like, I need another striker. I need this. I need this. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble. He was always going to be,
It's not just a striker, though.
I will try and get my best out of this players I've got, which is fine,
It's the options
but it
behind.
wasn't going to work.
It's the options behind as well that we lack hugely. Like, Chair's great, but he's that creative centre midfielder that will bomb forward, that will support, that will get up there, that will link the play, will get it to Chair in the right place, the Willock in the right place, right? So that's the player that we really miss. Dizelle can't do it. I don't know who else in the club can do it. No one else. Clive, I don't know if you can allow it. What do you think on that?
Well, mate, look at the strikers are your biggest problem, obviously. They're also the most expensive position to try and solve. And we did our money, didn't we, after Eze, and we bought a lot of players that have failed and we overspent, and that's where we are. And strikers are very difficult to sort in that situation. But there isn't a position in the team at the moment, apart from probably left back, where you've got Pahl and Larkesh, where you would say that we're well stocked and couldn't do with a new signing. I like Reggie Cannon, but he's had no pre-season and he's playing injured, and that's why we end up with Kaká every other game. I like Jake Clark-Salter, but he's made a tissue paper, and the other centre backs are poor. So there isn't. It's not just the strikers. Dykes, he irritates me because if he's not scoring, he could still be useful. He didn't score at Preston. He was useful that night. He went around smashing their centre backs up, and Ryan Lowe had a moan about him afterwards. That's fine. Do that. If you can't score, do that. Like, look at the guy. He's 6 foot, whatever. He's got tattoos on every inch of his body. He should be just, if you're not playing well, you're not confident, you haven't got a good first touch or whatever, go and smash a few people up. At least be like useful. I couldn't even tell you if he played on against Cardiff. I'm watching this. Is Dyche actually in this game? Is he actually playing this game? Like, and that happens so often with him. I want to see more of the Preston Dyche. I've already accepted he's not good enough to score goals. Go around and smash people up. But I think you hit on the big thing is like, who's making these decisions? Les got a lot of very justified criticism and arguably had to go for the decisions he made. And they had a really good plan and they didn't stick to it. They had a good 3 month period when they got some players on loan that worked and they got 20 million for Eze, and they decided, right, now's the time, we're going to go for it. And they should have stuck to the original plan, which was developing, selling, financially stable, and they've abandoned it. And so Les has fallen on his sword, and perhaps that was fair. But we haven't replaced him. I don't know any club in the world where the chairman, the chief exec, and the director of football is the same person. Lee Hughes is marking his own homework at the minute. We're about to go into a crucial transfer window here. And Lee, with no director of football and a chairman and chief executive and a director of football who's the same person. So, like you say, Ben, who is making the decisions? Who is identifying targets and deciding yes and no with this target? Who is deciding that Jack Colback at 34 years old is getting a 2 year contract with an option for a third? Because the only reason that Colback, Begovic, Cook, and people and Morgan Fox are here is because we were the only ones offering contracts of that length. Everybody else is like, well, you can have 1 year and we'll see how you go. And QPR go hot and heavy with deals like that. So we're already spending next year's money already on people like Cook and Colback to get them here. Well, why is there not a red flag going up somewhere? Same with Taylor Richards. If Brighton are willing to let you have a player on loan with a fixed fee, that means one of the smartest clubs in world football is very confident that that guy is not going to do anything in the loan spell that's going to make them look stupid on that fee. Somebody should be going at that point. Alarm bell here. And who is that at our club? Lee Hughes is doing has got every job. Like, the owners, we never see him. The director's box, you look at other teams' director's box. I sit just along it from South Africa Road. When Coventry scored, half the director's box went up because it was Coventry's owners are invested and they're there. Our owners are never there. The side of the QPR director's box is empty every week. So where's the accountability? Who is in charge? Who is making these decisions? Is it Lee Hughes? Is Lee Hughes doing everything? And if so, why aren't we hearing from him? What is the plan? So you're exactly right. Who's making the decisions? And we'll probably come on to Sif Fuentes, and I'll say more. I think he's the best thing that we've got, and everything above him and below him is rotten. And we should absolutely dig down with him. I suspect what's going to happen is these players are going to lose another couple of games, and you're going to start hearing about we should have got Warnock, let's get Warnock before it's too late, and that sort of thing. That's the direction I think this is going. Cifuentes, I think, is the best thing about us at the minute.
Interesting about Warnock, because a question someone asked me the other day was, if we had brought him in, would he be able to get more out of these players? And would we have a better chance of staying up? Obviously, he's not the long-term answer, and obviously, he's not someone who, you know, having Martin now, I wouldn't swap him, but that was the question that was posed to me randomly.
The two things I would say, and then I'll shut up. Neil Warnock can name his own terms, right? Like, he did well at Huddersfield last year. Yep. He stocks really high, doesn't need a job. He's basically retired. So he can name his own terms wages-wise, and he can say, in January, I want some money to spend. Neither of those things we can give him. Would he get more out of this team? Putting his arm around him. Oh, I said to Chrissy, I loved you. I tried to sign you at Middlesbrough. Maybe, but these players have been losing for five managers now for 2 years. Like, 52 of our last 94 games we've lost, and we've won 22 of them. So for 2 years, these players have lost more than every other game they've played, and they've won barely one in five. And that was under Warburton, Beale, Critchley, Ainsworth, and Cifuentes. You won't get a broader spectrum of five guys there. All with different styles of play, different mannerisms, different man management. And these players don't like any of them. So, yeah, maybe he would have done. But number one, he wouldn't have come because of the money. And number two, like, these players are such cunts. I'm not sure.
Agree. Doug, what needs to happen then from now, in your eyes, to try and, I don't know if we can get out of this hole, but to try and at least give it a go, like, without falling into a getting relegated by March jobby, which isn't out of the question in my eyes at the moment?
Can you ask me an easier question?
I can't, mate.
Obviously, I agree with everything Clive said about Marty. I think Marty is and should be our future. We should aim to go with him, regardless of what happens this season. Stick with Marty. I feel like even no matter what league we're going to be in...
Do you think that will happen? Do you think that will happen?
I would like to think that's what's going to happen. I just don't... If we haven't got any money to spend on in January, how have we got money to then sack another manager and then buy another manager? Like, we've sold every element of the club recently for peanuts. Like, what else have we got left to sell? So we are scraping the barrel. We have got no money. One of the most important things is staying up, because we get the new Sky money next season. That's an extra 7 million, I think it is, over either a year or over the course of the deal or whatever. So that's a lot more money coming in. That helps. But we just need, I don't know if we can somehow sell something and get a loan, just get someone on loan who can score a couple of goals, or someone who can create a few goals. We just need someone.
Between, mate. January, trying to buy a striker or get a striker on loan is difficult.
It is massively difficult, but surely there's a Premier League club who's got someone in the reserves who can get us a few goals.
Who knows what else is looking at, by the way?
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then that goes down to our recruitment, which we've said has been appalling for years. Like, we don't recruit well. We never have.
No.
Like, no. go back and look at the few odd players we get, like, that do well for us, that we kind of sell on. Like Luke Freeman, we kind of sold on for a bit of profit. Eze, obviously, was the only one where we've done it properly. But then saying that, I personally rate Dixon Bonner, and we got him from Liverpool. Like, there are these few little players who other clubs might not be taking a chance on that could come and could do something for us. But if you ask me, I haven't got a clue who they are. It's not my job to scout other clubs.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Ollie, Willick and Cher, mate, I wanted to just quickly get a view on, well, a couple of questions. One is, how do we see these two playing out for the rest of the season? My dad is very, let's put it this way. He says it's very convenient that they're both injured or refusing not to play after warm-ups right before January. I tend to agree with him to a degree. I think Chair maybe, I don't know, but I still think there's something in it. It's probably not, you know, maybe it's bad. Maybe not. I don't know. I wonder if it was September or August or something, whether he would still be with getting back quicker. I don't know. But what's your view, mate?
It's hard because you look at the goals that they scored when Marty originally came in, and you see what they can do. But if, you know, the rumours are true of Chair going to a bigger club, I think you take it. I think for the right money, again, it's got to be for the right money. But, you know, I think when we've seen, we've definitely seen more of Chris Willock since Marty came in. But have we seen enough to find it exciting again? I'm not convinced. But for me, I think you look at them two in particular, we rely on them for the goals and the assists. And, you know, that's all well and good. You rely on your two, technically your two best players for that. But I think if we were to lose them in January, doing what they're doing now in terms of goals and assists, I think we could potentially get someone that can do that. You know, this is not easy, but, you know, even free agents, there's plenty of free agents out there. You know, some of them aren't good enough, but, you know, we release some players that I think would probably do all right for us now. You know, Stefan Johansson's still not got a club. I think he'd do well in that midfield, genuinely. You know, you've got players available that, it's just Gary Medine. I'll take him. He's free agent. Look at the free agent
the problem
market,
is
surely.
Yeah, I know, but then you're back into what we're doing, which is giving these people contracts that are not going to want past January or possibly. Do you know what I mean? Like that, this is the type of player. There's a reason these players are free transfers in January for a lot of, you know, and I don't know, it's a worry. I worry. I mean, I think about Chris Martin. I mean, he would, I don't know, I suppose he had to be released though from his club, didn't he? I don't know.
That's the thing. If we want to stay up, we've got to do something. And you know, if we were to stay up, then, you know, we sign a couple of free agents and give them a year contract. Yeah, it might not work out. It might go down. But we've got to do something. And if we don't have the money to sign anyone, then we've got to do something. Because if we keep the team that we currently have, we've got nothing. You know, we can't rely on bringing a new youngster through every week into the start 11 and start 11, sorry, into the squad. You know, I think we need a bit of a clear out in January as well. Get rid of people who don't want to be here. Take what we can, you know, and on Paul Smythe, I think it says a lot about how bad we are that he's considered our most exciting player. He runs with the ball, he gets down the wing, but what else does he do? And I like the lad. There's a reason why he left the club and then we signed him back from League Two late in Orient. That's the level that we're at. If he's so exciting, why is no one else trying to get a League Two player that was out of contract?
He was the only real positive. I mean, Clark Salt did okay until he did his the corner and went off injured, but he was the only one who looked like he could do anything, really, didn't he, at Cardiff? Like, but again, he lacks so much quality and so much end product that I don't know. Yeah, I agree. It's not great, is it?
No.
Clive, with January, how do you see it going? And do you think is there money about? Do you think there is? Do you think we'll spend it? Do you think people will go?
Smith looks good because he's quick. And this is the slowest team. And again, that's a failure of recruitment that we haven't targeted after Bright left someone with pace because it's a slow team. And Smith looks good because he's quite quick. January, I mean, if we're thinking positively about how we're going to find out in January whether those sponsorship deals that we've been doing over the past few months are to try and free up a bit of budget to get us out of this. Or because we're so in the shit FFP-wise that we're frantically doing deals to scrabble back below the line to avoid transfer embargoes and points deductions, even with the team we've already got. So we'll find that out this month based on the business we do, and also then the accounts will come out in February and we'll know a little bit more. Short term, like the positive way out of this is if we can get the team on the pitch that played against Hull more often than not, we've got half a chance. Because like if you, that starting 11 and that performance against Hull was by far and away the best of the season. We haven't been able to get that team on the pitch again since. We're out of the Christmas period of fixtures now, and they're obviously going to toss off the cup on Saturday. So we're back to one game a week. Can we get that team on the pitch? Like, that would be a positive for a start. It's not a particularly good team, but it's the best we've got, and we haven't been able to get it on the pitch since Hull. Loans, I mean, I agree with everything said. These people are available on loan and willing to come to QPR, or available on a free agent and willing to come.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To QPR for a reason, right? You're not... But if we can do what we did a few Januaries ago, and when we got Austin and Field and Device in and whatever, you know, that's a possibility. Also, the Swedish season is over. And, you know, there's players that Cifuentes will know in Sweden who are out of contract. You know, that thinking positively, that could be a way to get some players in that buy into the manager and want to be here. Because I think quite a lot of the players that we've got at the moment do neither. So if we can get our best team on the pitch, if we can do some January business, maybe. We've still got all the teams around us to play at home, like Rotherham, Sheffield, Huddersfield. They're all Millwall. They've all still got to come here. So that's a potential positive. Medium and long term, we need to sort out the leadership at the club. You need a director of football at QPR because your owners are benevolent but stupid and absent. So you need a director of football. I think Lee, who's, you know, I went out to bat for him a lot when he came into QPR against a lot of criticism. He, in my opinion, saw QPR and the way to run the club the way I saw it, but has basically blown his load with this 21, the 21 overspend. That's exactly what he said he wouldn't do. It's probably the owners that drove it and not him, but he's just appeared a little bit checked out since then. Some of his, the way he speaks to fans and the way he speaks at forums and whatever, I think is quite poor. We're also not hearing from him. And even if none of that was true, you can't have the chairman, the chief exec and the director of football is all the same person. So I'd like to see a new chief exec come in. I'd like to see a director of football come in. And I'd like to hear what the plan is now. Because we only hear from Cifuentes at QPR now. When was the last time you heard from anyone at QPR that wasn't Cifuentes? The club has just gone completely quiet and silent on it.
You know the DFO point, Clive? Why will we spot a lie on that? Because we haven't employed an agency, right? Surely, like if we have, we haven't.
That's
we
what
haven't
I, yeah,
done a great job employing an agency. Like,
yeah, I completely agree. I am still under the impression that Lee Hughes' move to chairman is part of him taking a bit of a step back and a new chief exec's coming in. And I that's what I heard and what I was told and what I'm hoping will happen in the new year. But it does need to happen, like you say. Though the director of football thing, apparently we've got some big American recruitment team working, but where is that? And also, what's the latest on that? The club aren't telling us anything really about anything. The only person you get to hear from the club at the moment is Cifuentes. In a 2 months' time, they're probably going to be trying to sell us League One's most expensive season ticket. The fans have stuck with the club and the team remarkably. Like the attendance levels, given the way we're playing and the results we've got, I think is nuts. The fact that
it's outrageous, mate.
It is nuts. And the fact there hasn't been a single word of protest. Like, I grew up going to QPR in mid-table Premier League with a brilliant team, with people running on the pitch and protesting at the chairman because he wasn't pushing further up. And that we're in danger of going into League One. And nobody's saying a thing. The ground's sold out every week. It is nuts. So, but they're not speaking to us. I'd love them to sort of come out and say, look, this is a situation. The club's up for sale, so we're not appointing a chief executive director of football. We're waiting for new owners to come in and do that, or we don't feel we need a director of football, or we're in the process of hiring one. You know, what's the plan? And who's in charge? And why aren't they speaking to us? The club is absolutely silent. They've wheeled Reggie Cannon out today because, like, they've realised that Reggie Cannon's, you know, a product of the American education system and can string three words together without sounding like a complete moron. So it was that was, oh, sling Reggie out there to talk about, you know, heart and pride and all of that stuff. But no one at the club is actually speaking to us. You know, Lee Hughes whether he liked what he said or not, he used to sort of put himself out there and come on podcasts like this or do forums or do fans meetings, site meetings. I haven't been to one of those. Maybe they're going on and I just don't get invited anymore because I'm a gobshite. But we haven't heard anybody speak. Like, what is the plan here? We need that would short and medium term. We need new, strong leadership with a strong idea, and they need to communicate with us what that idea is. What does our club look like over the next 5 years?
I don't think that exists, mate, if I'm honest.
I think that whatever
the plan was in the summer has changed at some point from then till now. I don't know what to or what it was. I still don't actually know what it was, but whatever it was has changed. And now we are in a bit of limbo. And a good question, Dunk, from Jack's messaged me earlier to say, I don't agree with this, by the way. There's two ways of spinning the old relegation. You know, there's, do we go down, reset, no FFP and come back up again, a better team? Or do we do everything we can to try and stay in this league, right? And come as close as we can to FFP and the Championship. I'm more on the, I'm scared if we go down that we might not come back up again. It's happened to a lot of big clubs, bigger than ours. I don't know, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I'm kind of on, like, leaning towards your side of the fence, where I don't think long-term it's actually going to be beneficial for us. I think if we get relegated, I don't think the owners are that invested anymore. I think they are trying to sell, but they're not saying anything. If we get relegated, it makes us even less of a, like, selling point, isn't it? Like, who's going to want to buy a League One club, especially if they're taking on any of the debt we've got? Yes, okay, in League One, you've got...
I wonder if it's the opposite. Is it the opposite? I don't know. Is there an opposite argument to say that we'd be cheaper, more affordable to a different type of chairman? I don't know. I'm just thinking in my head. I get your point, though.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like if we go to League One, we haven't got assets to sell, really. Chair, Dykes, who's going to pay much for them when we're in League One if Chair doesn't go in January? Like, we think the owners are going to suddenly go, okay, there's no FFP, we can throw money at the club again. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're interested. I think they've got no time for us whatsoever, which is why, like Clive said, they're never there. Like,
I wonder whether they're looking for investors, aren't they? Investors,
yeah,
more than buyers.
In,
I don't know whether that's changed as well.
Yeah.
But investors was what we've heard.
Guaranteed, they're looking at investors to come in, buy a bit of the club, and then eventually in 1 or 2 years take it over completely. That's what I guess is going on. So relegation, I think, absolutely throws a spanner into the works with that. And like you said, other clubs, bigger clubs, have gone down and they've struggled to get back up. And I think we massively would. So I think relegation for us is a disaster. I think we have to, by hook or by crook, stay up this season and then hope that the board owners, they get some kind of investments in the summer, they get somebody who wants to throw a load of money at us and cover the debt, pay off the debt, whatever. Like, we need financial backing, and we're more likely to get it in the Championship than we are in League One.
Ollie, what's your view on this, mate? I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because you might go down and you might not come back up, but can we rebuild in the Championship? It's difficult, mate, on this. With the FFP headroom we've got, which is not a lot, it's difficult to rebuild in the Championship. Is it like get rid of your players, bring them all back in again? I feel like... Anyway, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I think it's going to go even one of two ways. I think you've got the positive of going down is it gives you a bit of headroom to kind of rebuild, whereas... And the pressure's off a little bit, because I think the problem we have is for quite a few seasons now, we think, oh, if we stay up, next season's going to be better. And it's not. I think we're stuck in a bit of a stalemate at the moment where we expect every season to get better, and consistently it's getting worse every season. I don't think relegation would necessarily be the end of the world. I think, do I want to go down? Definitely not. You know, we're a side in the second division of English football. That's, you know, next season we could be playing the same league as Stevenage, which, you know, it's... They could go up. We could be playing below Stevenage, for example. And I think that's not the nice part, but I think it would give us a bit of headroom and give us a chance to redo everything. But again, it's gone wrong for those clubs like Pompey and I mean, you could even put Ipswich in there as well. They down there for a while. Bolton, you know, these clubs, they go down, they do stay down a lot of the time, but it's hard because it's either going to go one or two ways. We'll go down and we'll struggle, or we'll go down, we'll come back up, and things will be fixed. But ultimately, there's no immediate fix. I think, like a lot of people said, we have been extremely lucky to have not been relegated already since that season that we came back down with that fine. It is an absolute miracle that we haven't. It does feel like now might be our time, but something needs to happen, and that could be relegation, and that might be the key to rebuilding. But if we stay up, it's just going to be another the same again next season, because, you know, unless we pull a pull Ryan Colley out of out of nowhere, he scores 15 goals for the end of the season, sells at 15 mil. It's not going to happen, is it? But we're stuck, and I don't think there is a way out. And it, in terms of FFP, relegation might be the only way out.
Well, I think, mate, if we do stay up, which I don't think we will, but if we do, I think it was you that mentioned earlier, the TV deal basically doubles next year. So it's pretty vital that we try and stay in that. I mean, the amount of times in recent history QPR have got relegated out of a league just as its TV deal blows up. We've
Yeah,
done that twice in the
typical.
Premier League, and it looks like we're about to do it again in the Championship. But if we do stay up, the TV deal improves, and also the 21 overspend, which is currently the millstone round our neck FFP wise, that goes out of our 3-year calculation. So you would actually have more FFP headroom and more money next season to start doing the surgery on this team. Probably not enough, but we'd be in a much better situation in the Championship next year if we stayed up. If we go down, it's a more favourable FFP situation. And also, if you're thinking of buying QPR, you would get it cheaper in League One, and you would be able to spend some money. I presume if you're buying a football club, you want to spend money and take it somewhere. One of the most unattractive thing about QPR now to an investor is you're buying a team that's probably the worst team in the Championship. And it doesn't matter if you're the Sultan of Brunei, there isn't the FFP headroom to do surgery on the team. So even if you wanted to come in and buy 20 players, you're not allowed to do it. So if we go down, that does change slightly. The problem I've got, we've seen teams go into League One and come back really strong, and they know what they're doing, and they build their good team down there. Ipswich and Sunderland are obviously the two recent examples, but others did it in the Sheffield United sort of steamed all the way through the Championship with Wilder. Southampton did with
The
Adkins,
Wolves
and
did it, didn't they?
Wolves did
Wolves
as
did it a
well.
few.
So you've seen
Yeah.
it, but we're coming back to my point again about who's in charge, what's the plan. Do you think the people that are running our club at the moment have got the brains and ability to go into League One and come up with a really good recruitment strategy and a really good plan for us to come flying back Ipswich style? I think we look a lot more like Charlton. We'll go into that league and talk about the good old Premier League days and play in a half full ground with league fixtures against Barrow and get passed from one dodgy owner to the next and sack one manager after another because the next manager is definitely going to be the one that sorts it and just knock around in League One for years. And yet that's what we look like to me, because again, I don't see the strength of leadership and the voice and the purpose from anybody above Cifuentes who would know what to do with League One. Do you think our owners could name five teams in League One? You know, like I don't. I do you think do you think do you think our owners could name
No.
five players in League One?
No.
So if you want to do an Ipswich got a new owner, really savvy, put a chief executive that knew what he was about. They got their first manager wrong. They went for Paul Cook, but they saw Kieran McKenna, they went for him, they had the plan, and they just absolutely steamrolled it. I don't think we've got the ability and the brains at executive and boardroom level at our club to do that. So
They built a Championship team pretty much before they even got up. So now they're in it. They haven't really
exactly.
done an
That's
awful
what you
lot, a
do.
few
You take
loans.
the and the reason that Sheffield Wednesday are in so much trouble is that they didn't. They used the FFP advantage down there to basically fill their team with Aidan Flint. That's, you know, let's get loads of 33-year-olds, Lee Gregory, that people have heard of on £30,000 a week, and we'll just swap League One aside, but then the team's completely unprepared for the Championship, which again feels very much like something that we might do.
Worry. One question, Doug, I've got is around Sam Field. I mean, his decline is worrying. I mean, I've always said it, and I can say it, he's a better centre back than I'd rather have him as a centre back in the centre field personally. But I get the point that we don't have anybody else to put in there that can, I guess, do what he does. And when he does play well, he is really effective. But his decline is slightly worrying. I don't know what your view is on it.
I don't think you're being too harsh, because I think he was what, player of the year last year, like didn't miss a match, was unbelievable. And he's just...
Is it Martin's style of play? I was thinking this. He felt like a bit of an Angel player. I don't know whether he's the one that he was leaning
I think
on.
It's difficult, I think, when you put him in a midfield with Dizel, because I don't think Dizel does anything in the team to help. He doesn't offer an attacking threat. He doesn't offer a defensive like stability. I don't really see what Dizel does in our team. And I feel like because he was so good, and because we're now struggling so bad, it makes it look like he's had a massive drop off. But we often said, and people would say to us like last year, the year before, he's never like an 8 or 9 out of 10. He's always a solid 7. Like, he's kind of dropped down to a 5 now. So it's not a massive drop off. But I think in the position he's in, with Dizel not offering support, it makes it look worse when we're getting overrun on a counter attack, because none of our midfield can run back. They've got no engine in there. So like you said, when he's like, was it a part of a back three or has played a centre back, he looks better because he is the last line of defence there. So there's less players running past him. It looks as obvious that he's like struggling. But with the whole Marty situation, I don't think Sandfield has the ability on the ball to suit that kind of deep line playmaker role of a Cifuentes style of football. He hasn't got the ability to pivot on the ball and play like a 30, 40 yard pass to someone on the wing. He just doesn't do it. All he does is gets the ball and he plays a simple 5 or 6 yard pass to whoever's next to him in midfield, normally Dizel, normally goes back to field, then goes back to one of the centre backs. That's what happens.
Yeah.
The two problems with field, I completely agree with what Duncan said. One, he's played every game for however many years now. He's basically played every minute of every game we played for 2 years, so he's probably knackered. And you would expect that we brought Cole back in thinking that he would be able to share that role. Colback's also meant to have come in and sort of lifted standards and been this big experienced professional. He's done nothing since he got here, but he gets suspended and injured, or try to get suspended and injured. All right, he's another one that's picked up a calf strain and we're told he's back next week, and months later, he's still nowhere to be seen. So I think Field's probably knackered. The other thing, to play Cifuentes football, you need midfielders that are willing to take the ball in a tight and difficult area, probably marked, to get on the turn and move it forwards, because that's the way he plays. We play those balls into the centre of midfield and we're not getting out of there unless you've got someone that's willing to take the ball when marked on the turn and get it moving forwards. Dizel hides. Dizel can do it, but he hides too much. He's not brave enough.
He hid in that second half, mate, against Cardiff. Watched him. He just was hiding. You could see him doing it as well, not offering.
So Dizel can...
Every time he got it, instead of doing that turn, hit it back.
Yeah. And Field, as soon as you pass it into him, he just bangs it straight back at you. And you've got that's the reason that Dixon Bonner looks good, because he is brave. He does want the ball. He will take it, whether he's marked or not, and he will turn and try to play it forwards. That's why he looks so good. And that's why I think Field is looking poor at the moment, because we're playing this style that he can't do. Dizel can do it, but hides. Field can't do it. And Dixon Bonner's the best of the three at the minute for me.
Yeah, Ollie, I don't know if you've got any different views on that. I wanted to touch on Marty as well quickly. You know, what's your views on him? I assume it sounds like you've been really impressed with him. What is it that impresses me about him?
I think firstly, the 13 points that he's gained has definitely helped me. I think he has the right ideas tactically. I think he knows what he wants, but I think maybe he didn't quite realise how bad the squad is. So he's struggling to kind of work out how to play the way that he wants with the squad that we've got. He's definitely made us a better team as well. You know, yes, we've been poor recently, but He's got 13 points, which is a lot less than we would have if we had started with GA. I think, ultimately, he's come into a pretty dire situation. Krejci couldn't do it. Ainsworth couldn't do it. Marty's come over and, he's done well. And I think we have to stick with him. I think we need to stop going through managers, getting rid of them, getting another one in. I think it needs to, it's time for us to stick with someone. He doesn't strike me as the man that's going to jump ship if we go to League One. I think he seems like he's got the integrity, which Bill lacked. I think he's got all the right ideas and he has the right playing style, but we're remembering that he's playing with a Gareth Ainsworth team. The signings that Ainsworth made fitted his team. Begovic, Colback, Cook, Smythe, Dykes, none of these players fit Marty Sifuentes' style. So I think he's
I don't think
probably
they fit any
trying.
style, Ollie. I think it's an unbalanced team. I don't even think it's that Gareth Ainsworth team. I don't think he got what he wanted personally. I think he got some players he wanted and some players the recruitment head of whoever's making the decision wanted. That's my view. So I don't, do you know what I mean? Like I don't think one of the biggest issues is it's so unbalanced the
That
team.
that's
We've
the
so many
yeah that's the
defenders
thing.
and
That's what the thing though, isn't it? Because I think the reason we've got some players in, their strengths that we thought we were getting aren't really their strengths. Dykes has bought in to be that goal scoring target man, and the ball bounces off him half the time. You've got Smythe, who is bought in for the kind of dribbling and the finishing that he was doing at Leyton Orient, but we forget that he's League Two. Colback was brought in to solidify the midfield. All he's done is score three goals, snap a few legs, and get red cards every week, and then get injured. It's not, we're signing players with, and we have been for ages with the intention of them being this specific type of player, and they're just the complete opposite. And I think that's the problem we have. Like you said, it's unbalanced. We've got a brilliant left back, a decent right back, but when he's not here, we've got a very poor right back who runs. We've got no consistent team because there's so many injuries or fitness tests. Jayden Clarke-Salter is a great centre back, but when he comes off injured, we're stuck with two centre backs that barely play together. When Dykes isn't fit, who have you got to put up front? Kelman, Armstrong. I think Armstrong needs a loan. I think he's got the quality. I think he will become a really decent footballer, Armstrong. But I think we're actually ruining a lot of these youngsters' careers by sticking them in a terrible team. And you've got social media people giving like Armstrong stick. He's a lad that's come into a team that is doing absolutely atrocious, being played striker 1 minute, left wing the next minute, attacking midfield. He doesn't get given the time to grow as a player, yet he's still, of our attackers, you take out Willock and Shea, he's the only one that does something when he's on the pitch. Statistically as well, he's created more chances than Lynn Dykes in the 20 minutes he did the other day than Dykes has in three games. And he's raw. Give him a chance. Just sack them all off. Just get a fucking whole new team if you need to. It's just doing me nothing.
Well, no, that's
The
the issue, though, isn't it? Sometimes, go on, Doug.
As I say, the problem with signing Smith from Leyton Orient was he was playing left wing, cutting in on his right foot and bending it into the top corner. We're playing him right wing, completely the
All
opposite
right
flank.
back.
He's not all
Right
right
wing
back.
back.
He's not left footed, so he can't cut in. So we've completely changed his game when that's from what he was doing so well at Leyton Orient. Sums us up. Then again, just stick him on the left here and he won't do it. That's the problem, isn't it? You can do it in league. I could do it in, the National League fucking South. I might be able to come to the Championship, wouldn't touch the ball. So I don't think I think signing an attacker that starts every week that was in League Two last season kind of explains why we're struggling. But that's all we can afford. So, it's Junior Hoylett's a free agent. I'd sign him just to see the fans' reaction, to be honest.
That's where it's got to. You know the Armstrong debate. Brad, who's normally on the pod, he says he's not good enough, basically, and he's probably right. But what the point being is that we let him down. We should have loaned him out early on, and get, you know, like we've said on the pod a few times, you know, League One, League Two, let him tear up some defenders down there, get a few goals in him, get, you know, get a sense of how he should be playing, right? Because at the moment, managers are trying to mould him a little bit, and he's trying to mould into what he thinks. But like you say, he hasn't got that long. He hasn't had long enough on the pitch to be able to do that. So he's being told this, told that, and he kind of looks a bit frustrated. He looks like he's not really got a clue what he's doing. He's just sort of doing what he's. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just, I think I should do that. I think I should do that. Maybe I should stop running so much. Maybe I should stop flying into goalkeepers and defenders like he was doing. So I think we've let him down. Clark Salter, like, he was always going to get injured, right? This, you know, we played him every week because he's got no one else. It was always going to happen. It was just when, right? It's because we've got no one else to play in there. It's just frustrating, isn't it? So we look forward to Bournemouth then in the FA Cup. I have no idea what team. We already know that Willie and Cher are not playing, right? We already know that a few, you know, Clark Salt is not going to play. You know, there's going to be a few players that O'Connor's not going to play. Kenneth Powell, by the way, as well. I don't know, just quickly, I don't know anyone else's view on him. Obviously, he's probably one of the better players we've got. And I'm really worried about him being moulded into this. You know, like we do to players when we do, like Dickie, like Dieng, like players that they just turn terrible, right? And then we end up selling them to someone in the championship for 1, 2, 3 million or whatever, and it just ends up being great left back. They should have been with us. Does anyone else feel like that? Like, someone to watch me think, you're amazing, look, great left back. Sometimes I look at him and go, you've bottled that tackle. You've not run back like you would, like you did the last game or a few weeks ago. Like, I don't know, I can sort of see it moulding in him.
Well, I don't think he should be taking our set pieces anymore. I'd probably start with that. One thing that Dizelle can
who does then?
One thing Dizelle can do is whip in a decent ball and like has put in some dangerous corners. So I'm not sure, other than the fact that maybe we forget he's out there, that I would probably let Dizelle out because Powell's set pieces have been driving me to distraction. Bournemouth, I think I'm playing against Bournemouth. gets me and Jude down the right, give it a dig. Certainly, I'm quicker than Albert Adoma, so see how that goes. I fear for Saturday. I think it will be the scratchiest team you've ever seen. And I think Bournemouth have sold their whole end, haven't they? So there's probably be twice as many Bournemouth as there are us. So yeah, I'm fearful for Bournemouth. I'm already looking ahead. I think, is it Watford, Millwall, Huddersfield straight after that at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of Sunday games, haven't we?
That's your season there. That's your season right there. You've got to win two of those, I think. So yeah, usually I'm the one that bangs the drum and says, like, you know, cups and, you know, stop ditching out of the cups and whatever. Mate, let's be honest, the team we've got isn't good enough to beat Bournemouth under 21. So, like, I very much doubt, even if you put a strong team out, they're going to beat Bournemouth. So I'm very much focused on the three league games coming up straight after, and Norwich at home a little bit after that, because I don't think they're very good. You know, Cardiff was a massive missed opportunity. We got to win two or three of those four home games, I think. So, yeah, Bournemouth can do one, as Gareth would say.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because for my notes, I put play the youth and throw the game.
Do you know what we're going to end up doing, Duncan? Like, because they've got a Spanish manager as well, haven't they? And like, whatever is it, continental managers just ain't having the FA Cup. They hate it. Yeah. So it'll be two teams trying not to win a game.
Yeah.
And we'll all end up at Dean Court a week on Tuesday. Is there a replay?
Oh, that's what's going to happen.
That's what we don't want.
We'll probably end up with another game at Dean Court a week on Tuesday, the last year of FA Cup third round.
But what I don't want is us to play anyone or risk anyone.
It's literally opposite my house, so yeah, it wouldn't be the end of the world for me.
But I just don't want us to risk anyone against Bournemouth who's nursing any kind of niggle, who's like struggling for any kind of fitness. I can just see us someone coming on for the last half an hour just to get a few minutes. And just completely doing themselves over again. You can see Jake Cox coming on for the last half an hour and then completely pulling up and ending his season. I just want us to play the worst possible team we can put out, take a 10-0 defeat, and just focus on the league.
Do you think these injuries are genuine, like to anybody else on this call? Do you think these, when they put their hand up and they say, I'm done now, how, do you think they are, do you think they're genuine? Because I don't.
No.
But,
I think a lot of it's mentality,
this
isn't
has been going on for, I think it's been going on for the last 18 months. I was at Hull last year when they were all putting their hand up and walking off. We're meant to have this miracle cycle doctor came in the summer to solve all of this. And we're back, and we're back to once again players putting their hand up and walking off just when it gets really difficult. I'm to be convinced that some of these injuries are genuine, to be perfectly honest. And you keep hearing them say it's a calf strain, he's back in training, outside chance for this week, and then 5 weeks later he's still not back. I think it stinks.
Well, it's frustrating. What's amazed me is that we've had it a few times where, well, especially Willock has decided in the warm up that he's not fit enough to play, or at half time there was too much time, so it's too much for me to come on. Like, it's an extra 5-10 minutes.
That's happened three times in the last however many games we've
what's
had.
That, about?
A sub- that to me is Sif Wenters saying, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you're on the bench, and they go out and warm up and they walk. And Tyler Roberts did it last year to Ainsworth in the Coventry game. Hadn't played since January. Ainsworth said, you are on the bench against Coventry. And then he tried to bring him on at half time. And you reckon he got injured in the half-time warm-up. Now, anybody that's seen QPR's half-time warm-ups knows that is not the thing that is causing anybody any kind of injuries, that thing. So I'm very suspicious of it, to be perfectly honest. But that it possibly, I just don't trust or like any of these players, to come all the way back to the start of the conversation. Who do you actually like? None of them.
That's why you mentioned that. Because like for my any other business, I was going to mention, what actually has Ben Williams done since he joined in July? Like, coming in as his role of overseeing performance, the club sports science, medical, physio, and nutritional developments, and all that departments. What's he actually done? We've had just as many injuries this year as any other year.
That was a Gareth Ainsworth thing, wasn't it? That he wanted to bring him in, I think.
Yeah.
I don't, again, he, mate, he was.
That's why again, I asked how many of these injuries are genuine.
He's took up another player, hasn't he? Another player wage or something? I remember, like, is he on quite a bit of money? Or I don't know. I could be. I'm sure when we met Gareth, he said something like that. I don't know. As in, like, he's on a fair bit, and
he's on a fair bit of money because he's going to get all our players playing week in, week out. We don't need another player because he's going to get all our players fully fit.
He said that. He definitely said that, didn't he? He said, "I've taken another player."
The glory days of the summer. I remember sitting in that meeting, looking at your faces.
I can't believe it. Ollie, mate, sorry, bud. Bournemouth, is there anyone you want to see? I know you're quite close to what's going on in the youth and the under-23. Is there any players that you'd like to see get a game?
All of them. Genuinely. honestly, just stick them all out there. But, you know, there's a couple, like, I'd like to see a bit more of, like, Balor and Cog, but honestly, just stick the whole youth squad, stick the development squad out and start them all. And it ain't going to make a difference, but we might find a diamond in the rough. And, you know, I just want to see something. You know, I can't remember his name. There's a young lad that scores all the time for the development squad. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but get him up front because we ain't got anything to lose. We go out the FA Cup every year.
Yeah. All right, lads. Right, well, I think we've covered everything, really, haven't we, there? Really, a lot of what's been going on. I think I just remembered that the Huddersfield and Watford games are on Sunday and on Sky, so that doesn't help, does it? It doesn't bode well already before we've even started.
isn't one like a 12 o'clock kickoff as well?
Yeah.
Sunday,
Who's going to want? How many of our players are going to want to get up at like 5 o'clock on a Sunday for an early training session before the game?
I've persuaded the Crown and Scepter to open at 9 a.m. for that. So in a good 3 hours before
at least. All right, lads. Cool. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for everyone listening. And we'll be back next week, prepping for that Watford game. So cheers, everyone.
You are.
You are.
Thank you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.